This is New Every Day with Jeff Weston and Lawrence Cruz.
Jeff Weston.
And I'm Lawrence Cruz.
So glad you're here. It is our Talk Back episode. Now, that doesn't mean that you can talk to us. You're going to look kind of silly talking to your TV or computer monitor. However, what that means is you've had the opportunity to ask your questions for us to answer. Now, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on one of our past episodes, and so we said, hey, you can contact us either through the Facebook page, comment on YouTube, you can send us an email, check us out on our website, neweveryday.tv, all those various ways you can get in contact with us. Nobody sent a carrier pigeon. There was no pigeon showing up at my door, but that's okay. But we did get a ton of questions that came in from across North America.
Well then.
Which is very cool.
I like that.
Some of them.
Including Mexico. Nothing from Mexico yet.
Nothing from Mexico, no.
But, although that is part of North America.
That's right. But a lot of good questions, and some of them, they came in, I'm looking at them going, who? I don't know. So,
okay,
good job.
I'm leaving. If you,
you stumped
know.
Us.
Okay, I'm so. Okay, I'm back.
No, but okay. They're great questions. Some of them, I would say, are some basic fundamental questions. Some of them are really hard-hitting and very current topics,
yeah.
Like within a couple of weeks old. And so we're going to try and unpack them all. Thankfully, we've had time to digest them and do some research. And
I like that part of the talk back. This is my very first talk back episode ever.
You've never done anything like this?
Not quite like this. It's great. So this is the premiere, folks.
That's cool. Imagine doing this like a Sunday sermon.
Imagine.
Like saying to the church, hey, send your questions to me. What do you want to hear about?
Yeah, that concept, I don't know. This is just a whole lot different, and I love it. It's been good to have just a little bit of time to look at the questions in advance.
Yes.
And certainly by no means are we the authorities.
No.
Not at all, in fact, but I've enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed the privilege of interacting with your questions, and I think it's going to be another great show.
Yeah. Now, one thing I want to say is, our responses, please don't take them as like gospel truth fact. It's our opinions. And so in no way should you see us as the authorities on it.
Anything he says, please don't pin on me. That's really, anything I say, please. That's right. That's what you're saying.
Now, I'm not saying that to discredit what we're saying, but what I'm saying is, we're not the authorities. We are just two schmoes in front of a camera,
right.
Kind of flapping our gums. But at the same time, we've got enough time in the bank to have some experience in in answering kind of questions like this. And so we're going to do the best that we can to answer the questions that have come in. But at the end of the day, always encourage you to fact check yourself and make sure you go to Scripture. That's
the ultimate authority. It reminds me of a Bible verse which says the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians.
Okay.
Because when they heard ordinary schmoes telling them things, they listened to what they heard, and then they went to the Scriptures to see if, in fact, it agreed with what the Bible says. The Bereans more noble than the Thessalonians. Wow, that's a mouthful.
So there you go.
Go ahead.
Be more noble than us.
Be a Berean today.
That's right. Okay. So we are going to jump right into it. And so one of the first questions comes to us from Sasha in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. And she says,
a Canuck. The first question from Canadian, eh?
That's right. She says, is it enough that I pray every day, or do I really, in quotations, have to go to church?
Over to you, Jeff. No, I love it. I've been asked that question quite a lot over the years.
Yes, and I think even with today's culture, more so now than ever, because it used to be within North American society, even the unchurched, you go to church on Sundays.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you mean in culture, church was a little more accepted.
That's right. And in today's culture, it's, well, I got to work on Sundays. And so it's a very topical question. And I know, like when I used to work in the prison system, my schedule would only allow me to be off one out of four Sundays. So 75% of church services I missed.
Wow.
And I struggled with that. Mm-hmm. So it's a very real question, and one that for myself, I tested at one point going, okay, God, if I'm missing church because I'm actually going to work to make money, am I putting money before you?
Mm.
Or should I be looking at another job?
And like, did you see a great big eraser and he was erasing your name out from the land? No.
No, I never saw that. That did not happen. But
Jeff Weston Lamb's Book of Life here. Right. I don't know. Let's see if we can
get the guy out of here. But no, at the end of the day, what I, you know, I spent time in prayer. My wife prayed about it as well. And basically what it came out to is God blessed us with that job. He led us into that job from a path that we never would have gotten there any other way. So we know it was ordained by God that we ended up in that job. And it's led to a whole new avenue of career for me that is full of blessing. And I know that's part of God's plan for our life. And so the fact that God put a plan in for us where I was missing church didn't mean I was any less a Christian, that it impacted my relationship, because there was a reason for it and God set that up. Now, that was for work. If I just wanted to go visit Pastor Pello and Sister Sheets and just sleep in on Sunday mornings, that would be another story.
Oh, that's funny.
You haven't heard that one in a while, have you?
Pastor Pello.
But at the end of the day, I think a couple of weeks ago, we addressed this best when we talked about the body of Christ. And we are meant to be in community.
Right.
And so I think the big question is, for Sasha, what is your definition of church? Is it the building?
Yeah. And certainly that, and that's a great question. My guess is that the question, Sasha, you are referring to attending a service in a building that we call a church.
Right.
And so at least that's how I'm going to approach the question. Yep. Now, suffice it to say, we did a little bit of research and you can see the church is not a building.
That's right.
So here it is that I understand the question, but really in order to help answer it, the Bible teaches so clearly that the church isn't brick and mortar. It's people. It's Lawrence, Jeff, insert your name here. Those of you who know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you, me, us, we are the church of the living God. So what? Where are we getting that? It's the assembly of Christians gathered to express the unity that they have. What?
Ooh.
Found in Christ Jesus. Hey, guess what? My sins are forgiven. Are you a follower too? Yeah. And we share that together. Right. Well, do I have to be near this guy, Jeff? No. But there's a wanting to be near Jeff and every other follower of Christ where, you know, we can gather together on purpose to do what? A common goal, to give thanks. We just had an episode on Thanksgiving, about Thanksgiving. We gather to give thanks to our God who's worthy and to celebrate all that he's done. Give him worship and glory and honor. Like, wow. Like that's so, man, it's what I do. It's the lifeblood of everything that I am, right? You know, so I think that's good. So the Bible says in, actually it is 1 Corinthians 12. What do you know? That scripture that we were talking about a few weeks back. It says, now you, Christians, are the body of Christ, and individually, you are members of it. So coming together, that's the Bible verse over, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, coming together in various assemblies is essential, says this author. You know who it is? It happens to be a man by the name of John Piper. Many of you would know him, and I've not met him personally, but boy, he's a well-respected theologian in Bethlehem, United States.
I believe we have viewers from Bethlehem in the show.
Shout out to you from Bethlehem, those of you who are watching. You certainly know who I'm talking about. Piper writes, so coming together in various assemblies, going to church, do I have to? This is what he says. It's essential to giving expression to the fact that Jesus died to create a united people and not just isolated Christian individuals. So we find that the Bible then describes descriptions of those first century Christians gathering regularly. Those brand new converts, when Christ died, rose from the dead, and appeared to those people, we learn historically, guess what they did? They regularly went to church, as it were, to use our lingo.
And I, you know, as you were reading that, one of the thoughts that popped in my head is, you know, a cord of two or three strands is not easily broken.
Oh, come on now.
And so from a relationship standpoint for being a Christian, we are stronger when we're together with others. And so if that means coming to church on a Sunday, or maybe you've got a home church, maybe you can't get to church on Sundays, and so it's a matter of just hanging out with other Christians.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, is it enough that I pray or do I have to go to church? I would say the safe answer is, yeah, you have to connect with the body of Christ. But does that mean the brick and mortar church? No. But you have to connect with the body of Christ to have a solid, growing relationship.
Yeah, and that's that have to. It's kind of like your car and fuel. You don't have to put fuel in your car.
But it's going nowhere without
it. But if you want to go somewhere, well, you don't have to, but we strongly recommend that if
that's
you want
right.
to go anywhere. Really, you know what? That I think is a good illustration. We don't have to do anything. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes.
But yes, because there's a question related to
You know, and it's great. But I think that's a good start to a very, very good question. Thank you to Sasha, I believe it is.
Yes,
Sasha from Barrie for this question.
Yeah. Now, oddly enough, like, we're one question in and we already got to take a break. Like, this is moving quick. We might have to pull two episodes out of this
one. Well, that's good. I'm looking forward, or maybe three. Who knows?
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute with more questions.
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Hi friends, we're back. And just before the break, Jeff and I were discussing a great question from a gal named Sasha from Barrie, Ontario, Canada.
Ontario.
Canada, hey.
Okay with words, huh?
That's right, my first talkback show. And do I have to go to church? Great question. Well, let's, hopefully we'll do this with every question. We'll get the Bible involved.
Yep.
Hey, Jeff, there's a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 10. Happens to be my favorite chapter in the Bible. I might say another one, but it's definitely, it rivals others for first spot.
Okay.
So right now it's very convenient. This is my favorite chapter. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 say this, and let us consider, so give some thought to this, how to stir one another to love and good works. It's like, okay, I got that.
Yep.
Comma, not neglecting to meet together. Wow. As is the habit of some people who what? We're starting to get this habit of not getting together with other Christians.
Okay.
They weren't being encouraged and stirred up in their walk with Christ. And they certainly, by their absence, were not encouraging others and stirring them up. What? That's a huge factor to what this church is, who we are as the people of God, is sharpening one another, mm-hmm. loving one another, stirring each other. Not just going to church saying, what are you going to give me? But here I'm in church, what can I do to be a giver?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, what a game changer that is. By the way, as I'm still paused on this verse, once you get a hold of what you can do to be a giver in the assembly of God, and even, I hope that doesn't sound churchy, a giver to the people of God, to others, to human beings, and not just to the people of God, to anybody. Man, when that gets inside of you and that catches fire, there's no way you'll want to stay away from people.
Right.
When you can exist to make somebody's life better, oh my goodness, that's a drug, man. That's you get a taste of that, you'll want more and more.
For sure.
Yeah, it's the truth, right? So as in the habit of some, it says, don't stop getting together, but instead encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Jeff, one of the things I've noticed, certainly with the people I talk to, that there's a general sense in the entire world that, man, the temperature is rising.
Yes.
Economically, politically, internationally, like what's going on, right?
Right.
That lends itself many people to be thinking, is the end close at hand? Well,
right.
Well, certainly not getting any farther away.
Well, exactly.
We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. And all the more, it says, as you see that day drawing near, we ought to be with one another so that we can encourage each other. That's just one verse from Hebrews.
Well, there you go. I think that's pretty much answers the issue right there.
All right.
Okay. Now, we got another question. Another one that came in from Barry, from Luke. And it's, how come God doesn't always answer my prayers?
How come you guys are just going from the Canadians from Barry, eh?
No, I swear there's other questions, but there really is. They're from all over the place. But, I think, with the amount of time we've got left, I think we can get this one unpacked pretty quickly.
Sounds great. How much time do we have left? That's a good question.
More than 2 minutes, less than 30.
Less than 30.
Get it somewhere in there.
All right.
That's the ballpark.
Okay, well, it says, why doesn't he answer my prayers? Luke from Barry, thank you for sending in your question. Good question.
One that I think everybody asks.
Well, I've been there.
Yeah.
And I've wondered, hey, God... that phrase, the heavens are like brass.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it seems like I'm praying to you, and I know you're way up there in the heavens, but why are my prayers only going to my ceiling and maybe not even that far?
Yep, I've felt that way before. It's like, oh, I can see them all just stuck to their, they're going nowhere.
So it is a very good question.
Yeah.
Again, searching on the internet, and the reason I'm saying that to you, we want to just say, great place to go. Don't believe everything you read, but be like the Bereans, right?
That's right.
Search it. Hey, what's out there? And one author says, sometimes it does seem like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling, but what we feel isn't always the same as what really is true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what really is true? This writer continues to say, the Bible teaches us, here it is, Luke, that God does answer our prayers. And one verse that supports that is John chapter 16 and verse 24. But the writer continues and says, but there's a few things we have to remember. God's answer may not always be what we are hoping for.
And that's the key.
That's probably behind the question, right? It's like, exactly.
Right.
I was hoping for something else, but,
I think of all the prayers that I prayed, if God was to answer every one of them the way I wanted, I'm pretty sure this world would be messed up. And I think there was a Jim Carrey movie years ago called...
Hey, where's he from?
Canada!
Although,
he gave up his citizenship, I believe.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
he surrendered his Canadian citizenship?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Just a moment of silence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm back.
But he had a movie called Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, God transferred powers to him to vacation for a week. Not really real. So Bruce had to start answering all these prayers. And at one point, he just said yes to all. It did a reply all, and it was yes. And it screwed up the world. Everybody won the lottery. And they all got, two pennies. And it led to riots.
Okay,
if you think of it that way, yeah, if God answered every prayer the way we wanted to, boy, would the world be messed up.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I'm just, that's Hollywood. But that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people praying... calling and actually they're asking the total opposite things, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So imagine, be thankful you're not God having to put all that together.
Yes. But he's got a good and perfect will.
And he does a good and perfect will, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Jeff. There's a Bible verse that says, surely the God of all the earth will do justly.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do rightly. And I believe that. Luke, I believe that every time I'm praying to God, he's listening to me. In fact, I believe he knows what's on my heart before I even ask him.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. How about the Bible passage that talks about God sent the answer to your prayers? Somebody calls out and says, I sent the answer to your prayer, but you need to know something. There was a WrestleMania match going on in the heavenlies when the powers of darkness sought to interrupt the messenger with the answer. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
And so here on earth, we're wondering, God, have you even heard our cries? He says, yes, I've heard. But there's a skirmish going on in the heavenlies that's trying to interrupt the answer that I have sent. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wrap your mind around that.
Exactly.
So what do we take away from that? Yeah, God's answering. There's principalities and powers of wickedness and darkness that are seeking to interrupt the answer, which is a biblical reality. It has been in the past. It's certainly possible and real that it happens yet today. And that would encourage me to say, well, if that's going on, then I'm going to add more of my prayers and keep on trusting. And we know the Bible says, what's that? God says, what is that? They liken to a sweet-smelling savor that God says, oh, the prayers of the saints. Oh, I love what I'm hearing. It's like a beautiful-smelling scent to me. Keep it up, and all of those prayers rise to heaven to bring a smile on God's face. Mm-hmm. Well, he's inclined to say, okay, I've heard enough. Just answer them already. Move heaven and earth on behalf of my children. Right. Oh, that's the power of prayer.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you know, with that concept in line, I mean, as a father, I love, you know, when my kids come to me like, Dad, can you do this or can you do that? Yeah. And I love being able to answer them. But sometimes the answer is not what they want to hear.
Right.
And the answer is, no, sorry. You cannot go through all of your candy right before bedtime. Because there's a reason I don't want that, because sugar high right at bedtime.
Yeah.
And so that falls in line with a concept I remember being taught in Sunday school back when I was a kid. Sometimes God's answer is no. Yeah. Sometimes it's you need to wait, and sometimes it's yes. And I think a prime example, there's two in the Bible. One is right before Christ went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's saying, God, if you could take this cup from me, I don't want to go to the cross. But it's not about my will, it's your will.
So to be clear, Jesus knows he's going to go and get beaten to a pulp.
Yep.
They're going to kick him, spit on him. They're going to like hit his side with a spear. Mm-hmm. They're going to whip him beyond recognition. So he knew what he was facing, and he was saying, hey, God, if it's possible.
Not me.
Plan B.
Yeah, exactly.
Call Jeff.
Yeah.
1-800, call Jeff. Call the Canadian.
That's right. But God's plan was, no, you have to go through this because you are the way to salvation for all of my children. And so Christ went through it. Another one, and I think this is the one that really sticks with me, is the story of Lazarus. Mm. So Lazarus passes away, and his family has sent people to Jesus to say, Lazarus is sick. Mm. You know, he hasn't quite died yet when they sent them. And so he dies when they're on the way, and they come to Jesus, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to hang out here for a couple more days.
Okay, this is Mary and Martha.
That's right.
Okay, sisters. Jesus is personal friends with this family.
Yes.
Okay.
And so he's told he's sick and he's going to die, and Jesus is like, yeah, I'm going to chill here. Like, I'm hanging out with my people. Just give me a couple of days. Lazarus dies. Then Jesus is upset, and that's where you get the verse. Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Like, he knew what was coming in this story, but he wept because this was a friend of his who's passed away. And so Jesus then travels there, and he's standing in front of Lazarus' grave. After 4 days, this guy's, like, his body's starting to rot. The stench is kicking up. And Jesus goes, hey, Lazarus, come on up out of there. Mm-hmm. And Lazarus gets up from the dead 4 days later and comes out. And, I mean,
take those grave clothes off.
Yeah, exactly. And so in this story, you've got Mary Martha saying, Jesus, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. And he's like, it's not about me. It's not about Lazarus. It's about God's glory. And so in this story, their prayer was, don't let him die.
Hey, Luke, these girls, I'm going to add this. I think they were upset at Jesus. They were ticked off. Jesus, how come you weren't here? Because we know that you can do this. And if you had been here, then our Lazarus, man, he wouldn't have died. What's wrong with you, God? So can you see that finger coming out towards you?
Yeah.
That's the attitude when I'm hurt, right? I have to watch out that I'm not going to wag my finger against God. And this is a great question, Luke. God, how come I asked? And I believe you can, and we know you can, but you didn't.
Yeah.
And in this case, Jesus didn't.
That's right.
4 days, you say,
Pat? 4 days.
Oh.
Now, before the show, when we were talking about this, you mentioned something about theologians and the 4 days and why 4 days was important. And I love this fact. I remember hearing it years ago, and I forgot about it.
Okay, this is it was probably me. Was it good, Jeff?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it must have been you. Yeah.
No, same thing. I remember I was wowed, and I believe it was from a friend of mine who's been back and forth to Israel, like literally close to 40 times, maybe even north of that now. I don't know. But the point is, he had a lot of chats with like one-on-one with rabbis, and he's learned so much. But there is this understanding I was taught that even magicians of the day, remember the Old Testament story where the staff would turn into snakes and Moses did that, and then the magicians, they did the same thing with theirs. And it's like, it's like, how in the world did they do that? But then the good thing is that Moses' snake ate theirs, you know, it's like, Okay, we're all good. But how did they do that? Well, similarly, there was a belief in this time of Lazarus when he died that the magicians were able to raise a man from the dead or a person from the dead as long as it was that person was dead 3 days or less. So it's like, wow. Okay. And so I was taught that one of the reasons why Jesus waited for the fourth day is because he knew in that region that when Jesus knew that when he walked in and Lazarus said, get up, and Lazarus rose from the dead, that everybody there would have been saying, wait a second, it's been 4 days. He must be the Messiah, which is exactly what Jesus had been proclaiming, which is the good news of the gospel. This Jesus, who had no place to lay his head, who didn't come with great pomp and circumstances, he was just a carpenter from Nazareth, is saying, guess what? I'm here because the Father has commissioned me. Like I'm here doing my dad's will, and I am the Messiah. And they're like, how can you be? Well, when he rose Lazarus from the dead, it was unmistakably clear that he must be the Messiah, because only the Messiah could do that. Oh, Jeff, So are we willing to allow God to manipulate the circumstances of our life, even over the death of a loved one, in order to bring him glory? Ooh, easy to say now, harder when we're the ones enduring that pain. But can we remind you what Jeff said? It's the shortest verse in the English translation. Anyway, Jesus wept, only two words in the English. Jesus wept. He's in agony over the fact that his friend has died. And he's in agony over what his other friends, Lazarus' family is feeling. He is feeling it. And Luke, you who asked the question, I want you to know, God is very, very, very interested in the cries of your heart, in the prayers that you offer to him. The Bible very clearly says he hears every one of them. But the Bible also says God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And so we get to say, God, no matter what the circumstance, I'm going to keep on trusting in you, because I don't get it all, but you do. So I put my hope and my trust in you.
Great answer.
Wow. Oh, man, I'm enjoying this.
So am I. We're out of time, though.
Are we out of time?
It's like we've only scratched two of all these questions. So if you're okay with it, I think we're just going to have to do another episode.
I think we should do a second talk back, Joe.
I love it. Okay. That's all the time we've got for today. If you have questions, by all means, send them in to us. Jeff@NewEveryday.tv, Lawrence@NewEveryday.tv. You can comment on YouTube, Facebook, however you watch us. We want to hear from you, and we'll continue to do more Talk Back episodes. That's what we got for today.
God bless you.
Bye.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at NewEveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB-TV, Channel 33, television for the high desert.